Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Planet FPL. My name's James. Coming up in a minute, the Correspondent Week podcast we recorded back on Tuesday with Matt Samuel, clean sheet wipeout, our new Southampton correspondent. Obviously, news yesterday on Danny Ings has caught us very much on the hop. No one saw that transfer coming. So there is a little bit of stuff in this podcast that's a little bit out of date. But importantly, we did discuss the prospect of Ings leaving and saying it was a possibility this month and what that might mean to Southampton going forward. Enjoy the podcast, everyone.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
And my name is James.
We have a new correspondent on today's Correspondent Week show. James, introduce our guest.
I shall. And I didn't hesitate to contact him, actually, to say, do you want this, mate? Let me introduce you to, man, many of you will know in the chat, man, community as Clean Sheet Wipeout and host of Season Keepers podcast. It is Matt Samuel. How are you, Matt?
I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. Yeah.
Pleasure. Did we mention that you're Southampton correspondent or not? It's probably in the title or something. Before we talk Saints, thanks. Matt, tell us a bit about you and who you are.
I think I started in the community about two seasons ago. Mainly, yeah, my podcast co-host James was lingering around. I kind of got fed up posting stuff about FPL on my private account, so I thought, you know what, I'll make Clean Sheet Wipeout. Was amazed that no one else had taken that name because you know, it's a term that you hear all the time, and yeah, kind of chat man kicked off from there, and then thought, start a podcast.
Nice. What do you do on the pod?
Don't say
FPL because there's other stuff in there, mate.
Yeah. Now, we kind of chat obviously about Saints. We've split it this season, so we're doing an FPL focus kind of short pod and then a Sky focus short pod. And in fairness, we probably wouldn't be touching Sky if it wasn't, you know, listening to you guys and listening to the Hub Boys last season, because last season was my first season. It went a lot better than I thought it would. And then, yeah, ended up doing pretty well, kind of understand the game and thought, well, might as well share that with others.
Nicely done. So two pods a week?
Yeah.
One on FPL, one on Sky.
Yeah.
Normally go out when?
I think we're aiming to do Tuesday and Wednesday releases this season.
Oh, cool. That's going to be difficult planning for Clash of the Correspondents, isn't it? Right, we'll get on to that later. No problem.
I'll fit you in, don't worry.
Good man. You bloody better. Yeah. Right, let's talk Saints. How are we feeling about new season, mate?
Nervous. Very nervous. Last season was a shitter, as I think everybody is aware of. Didn't particularly go well. Obviously, from the end of the first lockdown, we thought, yeah, you know, good end to the season. You know, there was no fans. We were looking lively. Didn't really go as planned going into last season, kind of, you know, injuries and whatnot. But just things didn't feel right. Results weren't going our way. The squad harmony just didn't feel like comfortable. Hasenhüttl seemed short of ideas. I mean, I think the Newcastle loss when they went down to nine men summed it up. We still couldn't break down a team, and it was consistently that throughout the season. You know, it was a worry at times that we were going to be sucked into that relegation scrap. And thankfully, towards the end of the season, we picked up a few results and looked a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, I've not got anywhere near the ambition I did last season to this one.
Yeah, I mean, you started last season with, there was big hopes for you, because one of the messages we kept saying on our pod during that restart period was, look at the intensity of Southampton. Like, every other game was dead. And we'd probably said over that sort of 8-9 game burst, you were probably the most enjoyable team to watch, actually.
100%.
And there was quite real high hopes for you going into the opening day at Palace. You fell flat. You lost. Yep. You battered my team for 44 minutes. Should have had the game won. Ended up losing 5-2.
Yep.
Then you won 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Top of the league. 15 points from 7. 15 points, obviously, from 15. 5 wins in a row. Did you win 5 games the rest of the season, mate?
Don't think so. I mean, November was the obvious highlight. I think for about 3 weeks, I had Saints top of the league as my banner on Twitter, and then swiftly removed it as we got shot to pieces over Christmas.
Alarming number of goals conceded during the second half of the season. Like, the most by a distance from game week 20 onwards.
Yeah, I think we were the worst performing team in the second half of the season, like below Sheffield United. It's not good enough.
What do you think on the manager? Because from a neutral's kind of point of view, I like Hasenhüttl, but maybe I'm sold a myth or a kind of version of Hasenhüttl that maybe the fans don't necessarily see, but that, what do they call it? The Alpine Klopp or what have you.
Yeah,
it's a high-intensity pressing game. He's quite charismatic and comes across well. When you've had difficult periods, quite often you come out of it and recovered, and then you think, okay, look, the manager's managed to adapt. And so from the outsider's kind of point of view, I always think Hasenhüttl is a good manager and someone that you should stick with. But again, you say the way you finished last season and you haven't been able to kind of build or progress in any way. I'd be interested in your thoughts on him.
I like Hasenhüttl. It took me a little bit of time to get with him. Obviously, it's a manager. It came with quite high expectations, you know, from his previous management roles. I just don't think we've had the squad that he needs to play the system that he wants to play. And obviously, certain players haven't performed the role, defensively particularly. Obviously, we all know about the two big results against Leicester and Man United. For him to come back from the first one, I thought brilliant. You know, we were on a good run of form after we lost to Leicester. To see that again last season worried me, albeit it was a very different performance and a very different loss. I think we still stuck at it, and there was just circumstances that went against us at United compared to that Leicester result. But I still think he's the man that we should stick with. The passion he showed, obviously, the moment when we beat Liverpool at home, obviously people criticised him. He gets down on one knee. He's basically in tears for winning the game. I like to see that. I don't like to see a management that just sits back, doesn't really feel for the club. Whereas I genuinely think Hasenhüttl enjoys being there and actually has a bit of a passion for being the Saints manager.
It's interesting. We wasn't going to mention the 9-0s because we know Saints fans hate it, right? So thanks for bringing it up for us. Even if you remove the 9-0 at United, you still conceded the most goals out of all the teams in the second half of the season, which kind of, it's not that one result that's caused an anomaly. Like, even if you remove it, it's still the worst. My concern is that the form since that Liverpool game has obviously been a bit of a disaster. I know you finished okay, but generally was a bit of a disaster. And I think a lot of the criticism from the outside was that night almost like, for him, his peak of what it was going to be at Southampton. Got on top of the league, you'd fell off a bit.
Yeah.
There was still kind of hope, really, in the first half of the season you might push for a European place.
Yeah.
And then the night you beat Liverpool, when you was in a crisis situation, with injuries everywhere, etc. Could barely put a team on the pitch, managed to fight and win the game. It felt like, obviously, it was such an emotional release for him. And agreed, people were a bit harsh about the way he reacted. But then did he have the motivation for the games coming afterwards, etc.? And my concern is, I think if you start really badly, the good news is you've got a great fixture list. If you start really badly, then, you know, if you're on 1 point from 4 or 5 or something, they might panic.
Yeah.
They might panic and move him on. That's my concern. And I'm not sure that's the right thing for Southampton. But as we've said, Sir John, on other shows about like Pochettino and stuff, these things come to a cycle and players now tend to get 3 years of the same voice and they just want a different one. And there has to be question marks about if some of them are playing for him now.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think it's tricky because obviously we've got, we know about the fixtures. There's two or three games in there I think we have to win. Like obviously we've got Newcastle, Wolves in there. I think West Ham, obviously, is going to be a tough game. That Everton away game, first game of the season, is massive. If we go into that and get battered, it's going to be tough because we've got Man United at home, you know, immediately following the next game of the season. If we go in and put a performance, I think we can be confident. But my issues are potentially not necessarily with Hasenhüttl. It's looking at improving in areas of the field that I think we've had to improve for at least two seasons, and we're still not doing so, and that's defensively, and particularly the goalkeeper.
See, that Everton game is interesting because we talked already with our Everton correspondent, Sean, about that's Rafa's first game. Yeah. And obviously the Everton fans are on his back a little bit, so they need to really come out of the gate swinging to kind of quiet. He needs a result to quieten the fans on that side. So they're going to be up for it. There's no doubt about that. What you mentioned there about the goalkeepers and just looking at even the number of defenders that you've got listed in FPL at the moment. McCarthy and Forster, not really. I mean, Bednarek and Vestergaard are okay as centre-backs. You can have play.
You don't even need to sell it. No. Matt's not going to sell it. You don't need to sell it. It's just, we can talk about who we think will start a little bit and why it might matter a little bit more in the future. And particularly the goalkeeper situation. But I kind of want to, before we do that, clarify.
I don't mean to sound, even sound like I'm talking about it from an FPL point of view. I'm talking about from a football point of view more than FPL. Because we're not picking them. From a football point of view.
That's fair enough.
Goals, man.
Those first eight fixtures, Matt. Everton away, United at home, Newcastle away, West Ham at home, Man City away, Wolves at home, Chelsea away, Leeds at home. How many points you got from them corresponding games last season?
One.
Two.
Was it two?
Oh. And that's the scary bit.
Yeah. We were there easily because I think we did on the pod, we did like looking at the first six, by far the worst performance from, the stats against the fixtures from last season. It's horrendous.
Yeah, one of them points was at Chelsea, by the way.
It was, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a really tough start. And listen, it doesn't mean last year's results are going to happen this year, etc. But if that's how you start, if you start with 2 points from eight games, Ralph Hasenhüttl is not going to be manager by the time you play Burnley in game week 9.
Not at all.
And I think that would be a shame. Let's talk about that defence then.
What defence?
Well, Vestergaard's highly rated, isn't he?
He is.
Is he overrated?
Yeah. I didn't enjoy watching him the first season that he came. And I think
he was so ropey.
Yeah, 100%. He got caught out so many times. Pace in behind is a real struggle for him. And then he puts himself into situations that I think he shouldn't be. He doesn't really give, the forward man a yard. Feels too tight at times. Last season and towards the end of the season before, I think he looked well improved. He seemed to have a bit more of a role, obviously both going forward. Became a sky kind of punt. I was never for it. I mean, a lot of people went in overhaul in that game, but wasn't.
I think he was very cheap in that game. That was one of the big advantages. He was like a 4 million in FPL kind of price, wasn't he?
It's mad. But I think he needs a partner, and I do rate Bednarek, but personally I'd prefer to see Salisu given a chance this season. Because I think he's a good young talent. And I'd just like to see him progress a bit more. There are still times when Vestergaard, Bednarek make mistakes and we haven't got the keeper in behind them to, be the shot stopper. So we're conceding so many sloppy goals.
Yeah, I'm concerned because, and we spoke about this towards the end of the last pod, that we look at the three teams coming up and we say, well, if they're going to stay up, who's going down?
Yeah.
And actually, we always have a conversation and go, you know what you're getting from Burnley, they'll be all right. Yeah. Brighton will improve. Actually, if you look at the way Newcastle finished the season, they'll probably be all right again if they start okay. Palace are making good investments. For whatever reason, we always skip you. We don't speak about Southampton about being a concern, actually. And I think a lot of that's because going forward, you got good players. But the concern is the other way. And I think I heard you on the pod you did with James on your podcast saying about, and I think James said, there are 19 better Premier League goalkeepers than what we've got.
There are, yeah.
100%. And I think that's probably true. I've said to you previously, you need a keeper, mate.
Yeah.
Badly.
I'm amazed that we haven't gone in. And I think on that pod, we spoke about Sam Johnstone. I think he's the type of goalkeeper we should be targeting because we've got two number twos at the end of the day. And there's a reason that Hasenhüttl rotated them towards the end of last season, like two games on, two games off, because I don't think he trusts either of them either. And even in pre-season, I mean, we played Swansea at the weekend, lost 1-3-1. McCarthy made a howler and, you know, they should have taken advantage of it. He tries to play the ball in the box, gets done by the striker. He's done that time and time again in the Premier League. And Forster isn't the keeper that he was three, four seasons ago when we were fighting for Europa. Not at all.
Yeah, it's a problem position. It's interesting. There's been so much talk about, say, Arsenal buying Ramsdale or Johnstone potentially be their number two, for example. Yeah. Whereas I think for them, it's kind of been a theme of the last few weeks about English goalkeepers being a problem. Either of these boys go to Southampton and walk in the team.
100%.
Sam Johnstone, it feels like a good fit, actually, as well. When you mentioned his name,
I hadn't mentioned Sam to Matt before.
I think it would be a good fit. And he's probably affordable as well. Actually, I don't know how much money you have, but he'd be a fair price, let's say.
Not a lot.
Is that the issue?
Why you're not looking at it? Because the money's there?
I've got my opinions on the ownership and I think they're there to, you know, just run with the club and try and sell on. And we've actively, in the past two seasons, been looking for buyers. Right? It's been in the media. It's been known. I think the Gowers are there. It's not the investment they thought it would be. And they're now looking to sell. And I'd prefer to see that because they don't invest in the team. And we've always been a selling club.
But I was going to say, have you not got anyone to sell to Liverpool this summer?
That's where the money's drying up. It all depends on this Harry Kane situation.
Danny Ings ain't going there again, is he? Oh, here we go. It's the introductions. Matt, do you think that's a possibility as well?
Yeah, 100%. If Kane goes to City,
Ings has got one year left on his contract. There's every chance he's going in the next couple of weeks, isn't there?
100%. I think it will take that Kane move to then start the ball rolling because there's been rumours about us looking at Adam Armstrong, obviously bringing him in. I think he would be the ideal fit if England was to move on. Because Armstrong and Adams, I think that's an exciting partnership. Adams is improving. He's looked good in pre-season. I think that'd be a good move. But
I think Armstrong would be a super little replacement for you. Did a very good season with Blackburn. Rapid such, not crappid, rapid. He can burn when he goes. And I think, the one thing with your team is you always feel like you've got exciting, fast players up front to kind of contradict all the concerns we've got again. What can you tell us about Romain Perraud?
Not a lot, in all honesty. I think we've obviously brought him in. Bertrand's moved on. We've brought him in to kind of play that left-back role. The interesting point is the fact that we've then obviously now signed this young lad from Chelsea as well, the Livramento.
Couple of them,
and Semeyu, but I think he's gone into the B team for this season. But Perao, I think good player from what I've seen, you know, kind of a good prospect. Bertrand, for me, was always going to leave at the end of last season. I don't think he looked like he wanted to be there for most of the season, was my opinion. So I'm glad we've gone into the market. But we needed this other young lad to come in from Chelsea because time and time again, I think Bertrand was the case. He looked like he was settled there because there was no competition. So he didn't really need to fight for his place. The fact that we've got Perraud, you've come in, you're probably going to be the number one, but we're immediately signing someone else that could take that role. And I think that's going to, hopefully kick him on. And
Didn't you know, it really weird because obviously Bertrand was coming to the end of his contract. Didn't you let two left, McQueen and someone else go out on loan in January?
Yep.
Who could cover at left back? And I know they both had a chance and not particularly lived up to the hype, but let them both go. Seems a little bit weird. Jan Valery went somewhere on loan as well, didn't he? I think.
And then I think he's come back. He might be. I fully expect Valery to go out on loan again. I think Sam McQueen, he was injured for a long time. I think he's been given a contract till Christmas to see, because I think he's been out for about 2 years. Give him a contract till Christmas and then see where he goes from there. I'm amazed he was even playing again, because I think the comments were that his career might be over. So it's good to see the young lad come back.
Yeah.
But I think Perraud should hopefully be a good signing. I haven't really seen a lot of him In the flesh, so.
The Chelsea lad you mentioned, Tino Livramento, I think.
Livramento.
He's a right back, I believe.
Yeah, so he commonly plays right back, but can play both.
Okay.
From what I've read and from what I've seen on kind of, yeah, the Chelsea kind of chats and whatnot.
They're raging about it. The Chelsea fans who would know the academy. Well, I think he's their academy player.
Academy player of the year last season. Mm. Yeah, 100%. And obviously, the likes of Mason Mount, Reece James, they've all been academy player of the year. I'm amazed, given how much praise he's had from the Chelsea lot, that they've let him go. And I believe there's a buyback clause. I think it's about 35, 40 million. So they're clearly rating. But for us, that's ideal. Because if he can kick on for us for 2-3 seasons, and then we sell him for 40 million back to Chelsea, we've made 35 million on it. So
The unknown on parole, I think, was summed up by FPL's pricing of him. 5 million for a Saints defender. You're on drugs, mate.
Yeah, 100%.
I bet he gets some of the 50 points that I said.
Yeah. Oh, we talk about FPL prices all day, man. Some of the stuff that they've thrown in there is ridiculous.
I mean, even Vestergaard, Walker Peters at 5 at the moment. Not off what we've seen the last few.
No.
We're not going to talk about it. You need a goalkeeper. Could Vestergaard go as well?
He's not signed a contract, so...
How long has he got to go?
A year, I think.
No, really? What, same as Ings?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
This sounds like a ticking time bomb that could explode in the next 12 months for you guys.
We put ourselves in these situations. Mm. Yeah, that's the problem. Which I think is why I'd like to see Salisu step up, because he's a good prospect. I think it's the reason why Semedo has been signed going into the B team, but I believe he's centre-back. So, you know, we're trying to cover these slots, and I'm glad that we're going for youth rather than bringing in, you know, someone that's
get that. 29. It's surprising though, when obviously a lot of the, you will have seen the graphics as everyone else has, the Southampton team from like 2015. I mean, probably win the Champions League now, right? It's ridiculous the amount of talent you had, but the getting them in cheap, the selling them high, the letting the contracts go out on Ings, Vestergaard.
Yep.
How old's Danny Ings now?
29,
I think, I want to say.
29 this year.
You're probably getting still at least 30 for him, I think, if he was to be sold and had 3 years left on his contract or something. And Vestergaard was talking like 40 million in January and stuff. I mean, if they're both going now, you ain't getting 70 million, mate. You'd be lucky to get the 30 million between the two, possibly.
Madness.
What's the status on Romelu as well, Lars? Because he was talked about last summer. I think, James, you were super keen.
Big fan of Romelu, yeah. He's very good player.
Is he tied in for a little while?
I think so.
He might get snapped up as well.
Had he not got injured in the second half of last season and carried on the way he was performing, I'd be amazed if we held on to him this summer. But because of that injury, I think he sticks with us.
Did you see the correlation there, what you did, Suj?
No.
Romeo injury, missed majority of second half of season, Southampton fall apart defensively. And I realised there were some bad results before he got injured as well, but I definitely didn't help.
Nah, not at all. Nah, he's a big miss. I mean, he's a yellow card magnet,
yeah.
But he only ever pushes that. Like, once he gets his yellow, he takes a step back. I don't think he's got sent off. So, massive miss. And I think it was Diallo that stepped in. Not the same player at all. Like, he's very much, I think, a Krause kind of player, looks to play the ball, whatnot. Romelu is just get stuck in, break the pass, kind of split it. Huge miss, probably.
You like Diallo, though, don't you?
Yeah, he's a good player. I rate him. I think he could improve. It's just where we slot him in. I've seen this 4-2-2-2 that Hasenhüttl likes to play. I think it will be Romelu and Krause that are in those two. And for me, it'll be tricky for Diallo to get in unless he maybe adapts the way that he kind of performs.
You, to pick up on another point you'd said on your podcast when you did a bit of a Southampton special during the Euros, you said that one of your frustrations with Hasenhüttl is lack of flexibility. Yeah. I think of that midfield, that's 4-3-3, isn't it?
Yeah.
With Ward-Prowse and Diallo in front of Romeo sitting, give that back line some protection.
We don't have a plan B, and that's been the problem throughout last season. Is we've very much stick to what we know or what he knows, but I don't see why we couldn't adapt, and we've got the players to play the roles. So it's frustrating, and I think even Hasenhüttl has come out and said that we're not looking to develop that front line and whatnot this season, because he's got an abundance of choice. It's just picking the right players. And the likes of even El Yunusi and whatnot that have come back from Celtic, I don't know if they're going to go back out on loan again, but we've got seven or eight to fill four slots at the moment, and it's a tough call.
Yeah, I feel like he didn't pull up trees at Celtic, El Yunusi.
No, I don't think he was brilliant. He scored a few, but it's not difficult in the Scottish Premier League.
Oh, you've upset some people now.
I'm a Hearts, and talking I'm of a Hearts which, fan.
What,
to
I was going
to
say, so. What is this about our Southampton correspondence to Ali, FPL gaffer, shout out Ali if you're listening. Yeah. He's like half Rangers as well.
Yeah.
And then I see this clown Matt tweeting at the weekend about Jambos this, Jambos that, because they beat Celtic. What's going on, mate?
I'm kind of me old man. So I was born and bred in Scotland, lived just outside Edinburgh till I was 11. So I think I was taken to my first game at Tynecastle when I was about 3-4 years old. Family up in Scotland have always been Jambos, but obviously with my old man being from Southampton, that's where the Southampton link comes from.
Oh, thank I've God you got me. Both. I wondered if I'd just pulled out a ring.
No. Yeah, I followed them both from the start. But I think I was asked an interesting question in a group chat that if Hearts and Southampton ever met in the Champions League final, never going to happen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I laughed at that point. Who would I back, and it'd be Saints, because I've been through a lot more with Southampton than I have with Hearts.
I was going to say, if they meet in a pre-season friendly, who do you support?
We have done, yeah. We beat, I think it was way back in 2009, we actually played Hearts at St. Mary's and beat them 3-1. But yeah, that was an interesting day.
Nice. Let's talk about some of these attacking options, because if we are going to punt on you, it's definitely there.
Yeah.
Nathan Redmond. He does my brain in, mate.
I know.
It really does. And he does my brain in because I think he's a super talent.
Yeah. Agreed.
Why can he not fulfill it?
I think it's a confidence thing. Genuinely, like, he's very much a confidence player. And I mean, it was two seasons ago, the fans really got on his back. He was being booed, you know, he was making mistakes. And I think Hasenhüttl took him out of the team for a while. But he's a good talent. He just needs to run at people. Time and time again, you see him running down the line. He gets towards the box and he doesn't know what he wants to do. But if he just picks the ball up, looks and takes a shot, he's got a crack and strike on him. And he can score a goal and he just needs that confidence.
If he was 5 million, would you buy him?
I'll take
him. You ain't buying him at 6 though, are you?
No.
What price would James Ward-Prowse have to be to buy him?
What, are we talking financially or in FPL?
FPL, mate.
Fucking hell, that's enough of... Jesus.
Villa.
I'm going down to bookies, get money on Saints. Here, go down.
For Prowsey, 5.5, maybe 6. But I think it's a punt, given you can get the likes of Rafinha for 6.5.
Exactly what we said off camera. 6.5 million for Ward-Prowse. 156 points last season, hasn't missed a minute for two seasons. He's absolutely fair. Am I going to pay it versus the Leeds boys?
No.
Not with the start you've got. No, I don't think so. Ownership at the moment is 8%.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can leave him all season. He'll do all right for you.
He will. He'll get your points. He'll get assists, skip the odd goal with the free kicks and whatnot. But you're never going to get 15 points from Prowsey.
Is he staying?
Yeah.
He'd definitely stay. Yeah. No money will change that.
I don't think he's going. Unless we get 45, 50 million for him, I think he's staying. I mean, Villa bid 25 million. It's laughable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, he's not going anywhere. I think, given him the armband as well.
I hope that bid doesn't come in. I mean, I know a few clubs who might suddenly be flushed with quite a bit of money, mate. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think having the armband, and I think his passion for being with Saints, he's been there for a long time. I think he'll stick with us for at least another season.
But let's hope so. I don't want you to end up with no players for the start of the season, mate. I think it's a difficult one. There's so many players you look at in isolation and go, good price, good player, like that, fine. I mean, if Rafinha was 8 million or so, then we can have a conversation. I just don't think not with that fixture list either. But because of obviously what he does on the set pieces, he's any game, isn't he, where he can do the business for you. I mean, I think two of your first three, I want to say, United home, Newcastle away, scored three kicks against both of those two last season in corresponding fixtures. So it's not that he can't, right?
No, he can put a ball away. And give him 20, 25 yards from goal. I mean, you'd put money on him putting him top corner.
So if you pay $5 million for Nathan Redmond, will you be paying it for Nathan Teller?
I like him. I really so do. Yeah, if you want a punt on someone that is unlikely to play every game but will get minutes this season, he's a good one. And he's looked lively in preseason.
I think that first sentence was so unhelpful. Thanks.
You're going to take a punt
on someone who probably won't play.
I don't think he starts every game. I think Haasenhüttl will still bet him in because you've still got the likes of Armstrong and Redmond that will play wide. And he's competing for two spots amongst four or five players. I mean, we've still got the likes of Gineppo. You know, it's tricky. But he's looked good in preseason. And I think he's got 3 assists and a goal. And all of them have been linked with Che Adams, which is a partnership that I think is developing. So,
I've just triggered. You could have Armstrong and Armstrong, couldn't you? That's going to be a mouthful for commentators if that comes through. And we like Stuart Armstrong, don't we, Serge?
I wanted to start really the season last year with him. It was a straight toss up between him and Saint Maximin because there was the same price last year.
He was injured.
He was injured last season, Stuart Armstrong, which
he didn't start the first game.
Yeah, it was easy to then just start the season with St. Maximin instead, but he did go on a decent run. Yep. I just look at all of them. I think if you gave me a midfield, say you played a 4-4-2, you had two in the middle in Romelu and Ward-Prowse, Redmond on the left, Armstrong on the right, Che Adams and Ings up top. It's not bad. Ings leaves, you're in trouble. One of them picks up an injury and suddenly you're kind of looking at bringing in the likes of Walcott and so on. It's a little bit, it's that depth is the issue. And once you go down, if you go one or two goals down in a game, then to claw it back, I think is going to be difficult. You're the type of team that needs to score first.
So yeah, we've always...
They're all fine, but $6 million. I mean, we just recorded with our West Ham correspondent. All of the West Ham midfielders are 6, 6.5. At Spurs, there's loads of midfielders at 6, 6.5. At Everton, there's midfielders 6, 6.5.
Leeds, and with your fixtures
up
until... Again.
Yeah, exactly. With your fixtures up until game week 8, 9.
Yeah.
Nah. And that's also kind of when Chelsea's fixtures turn and get better.
I think, Serge, that like 90% of the game is underpriced. Well, I don't think the Southampton players are.
They're all probably $500,000 to $1 million, a little bit too much.
Armstrong, we started with last year, was 5.5.
Yeah, 5.5 million.
I'm not quite sure where he's justified the rise up to $6 million, actually, to be honest. You're not paying $6 million for Walcott. You're not paying $6 million for Redmond. You're not paying 5.5 for Gineppo. Teller at 5, should he break into the team, is the interesting one. Or, obviously, if you're happy to just take the consistency of James Ward-Prowse and go with it, I wouldn't say to anyone, don't buy him. Because as we said, you know you can return in any game, any time. But as we'd said with Chris Stone on the West Ham pod as well, when you start breaking it down, I mean, Armstrong, Walcott, Redmond versus Harrison, it's not a conversation at the moment. And it's the same
debate.
Ward-Prowse versus Rafinha is actually a better debate because of Ward-Prowse's consistency. I couldn't guarantee you that Rafinha would match James Ward-Prowse's points total from the season gone. But then I'm not sure that James Ward-Prowse himself will either.
What about up top, Matt? I mean, if Danny Ings moves on, can Che Adams step up? I mean, that 7, 7.5, 8 million striker bracket is really crowded.
Yeah, it is.
And Che Adams is probably quite far down on the list in terms of names that gets mentioned. But 137 points last season. He didn't play the full season as well. You said he looked lively in pre-season. Yep. If Ings leaves and he becomes the main man up top,
I think he's got it in him. I mean, I think the call up for Scotland.
So does James probably. I think James, you like him as well, don't you? Che Adams.
I do like Che Adams. Yeah, there was so much written and said about him last season in terms of big chances missed and whatnot. It's like he's underperformance of XG. If you looked at the numbers, you think someone's going to break out. Who's due? So often you look at it like Che Adams, absolutely Joe. Yeah. And I think so many of us lost the plot after game week 4 and was like, right, that's enough now. And he went off at Chelsea in game week 5, didn't he? Like, ironically. I do like him as a player, actually. As I've said before, he nearly knocked Tottenham out the League Cup back in 2015 when he was a baby at Sheffield United.
Yeah.
So he's a career that I've followed for a long time. And I do really like him as a talent and a player. I ain't paying £7 million for him, though.
I think he needs to start well. again, he goes on these barren runs. But if he gets a goal straight away, kind of you're backing him probably the next game, the game after. And obviously last season, that goal against City at home, you know, drove him. And I think he scored four and five after that. It's very much the same. If he starts the season well, then yeah, maybe, you know, he might be one of those punts that you kind of jump on when the fixtures turn, because I think he's a reasonable price. If Ings goes, I think it depends on who comes in to partner him as to how he continues to perform.
If Armstrong was bought, this is the annoying thing, I think. If Armstrong came in from Blackburn, let's say that Danny Ings did go, I can't see that Armstrong would be cheaper than Adams.
I think they'd price him the same.
Do you think the same?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Which would be frustrating if he was.
It would be a no then, I think. I really like Armstrong as well, though, actually.
Yeah, likewise. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant talent. If he's 6'6", you've got a conversation.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Adam's 7, what, half a million cheaper than all them 7.5 forwards? Yeah.
Compare him to Calvert-Lewin, Antonio, you're not.
Don't buy Adam Armstrong. Get Obafemi into the team and we can all have a 4.5 million striker
think,
on the bench.
I think he's going out on loan.
Yeah, I heard very surprised. Lucy Hynek say that on who got the assist as well, that she thought he was going to.
He's not even getting minutes in pre-season, so really? I very much expect him to go.
He's an absolute unit, isn't he? You like him, don't you, Sidge?
Yeah.
He's like a little tank, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he wanted to come out, we'd take him and be Mikel Antonio's apprentice at West Ham. And you know what?
He's got hamstring issues, so he'd certainly beat that one.
Does he wear his shorts too tight as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny Ings, go on, give us a percentage chance on how likely you think he's to still be a Southampton player on September the 1st?
My head says 30%. My heart says, yeah, he'll be there. But yeah, genuinely, I think the club would be silly to keep him if the right bid came in, given he'll be going for free.
What's the right bid, though?
With a year left on his contract, honestly, 20, 25 million, I think we'd take it, given it gives us that flexibility to then make the move on someone like Armstrong. Without the sale, we're not buying anybody.
I think, less than any, can't be less than 15, surely. Yeah. Less than 20, I think you'd have to take a view of it and go, are we better off actually keeping him, making sure we stay up and let him go for free?
Yeah.
And I think that's a possibility as well. And from Ings' perspective, that he's going to be 30, this time next year.
Yeah.
He'll get even more wages if he sits on it for another year. But yeah, I think a lot of clubs have got him in mind as a person. I wouldn't even be surprised if like Chelsea looked at him as a real short-term option, if they can't get one of the big hitters in. If Kane goes, I've said it to you 100 times, I'm pretty sure that's who Tottenham will go for. Whether that's changed a little bit now, Paratici's doing the negotiations, I don't know, but I think Tottenham have got some good youth forwards, and getting Danny Ings in to fill that for a year or two sounds like a sensible solution to myself. And obviously, if Kane does stay, listen, he might be 8 million playing for Man City, mate. Imagine that.
I'm pretty sure he came out and he said he'd like to play for the likes of, you know, United and City, and that's where he wants to push on. But for me, it would be his injury record last season that would put me off punting that much. He was out, I think, 3 times for long spells.
It's also why you won't get super money for him.
No, exactly.
As well.
It's a risk.
I can't see it being a lot more than 20. But then in 1920, we kept saying made of glass and all this stuff. What did he get? 24 attacking 20, returns, 22 goals.
I mean,
his goal record when he plays. He's a brilliant little forward, isn't he? Works his socks as well. Really good for the team in terms of defensively off the ball, which is really important playing in your system, Matt. Look, I'm not going to bullshit. I'd love him down at Spurs as a short-term option.
I think he'd suit you.
Would you be interested, if he did go to Spurs, for example, is 8 million and obviously Kane's gone, would you be interested in that?
Yeah, big time. I mean,
I think you'd have to be, wouldn't you?
You have to. Playing for a club like, you know, Spurs, I think it's a big season for you guys, but to have that option of, you know, Danny Ings being fed by the talent that you've got compared to the talent that we've got.
You mean
it's a massive step up. Yeah, Exactly.
Lucas Bergwijn, well, even, Marcel,
yeah,
so
they yeah what I said, some.
No. Yeah. And I mean, even like, I don't know what your opinion is on, say, Dele Alli, but I think Dele Alli is a huge step up on, say, someone like Nathan Redmond. And to have those kind of players around you, Danny Ings is scoring 20, 25 goals next season for Spurs. I don't know if he'd get that.
Ings at 8 million at Spurs versus Calvert-Lewin, 8 million at Everton, Bamford, 8 million at Leeds. It's a conversation to have. Yeah. I'm not actually...
Yeah, I'd agree. Conversation. It's not 100% rule out the others. No, I agree.
He could match them for points for sure.
Oh yeah,
but I don't think you start with Danny Ings as 8 million Southampton player.
No way.
Not at all.
You two were synchronized with the way you shook your heads.
Yeah, forget about it. Are you, Matt, starting with no Southampton then?
Yeah, not touching us. Not at all.
You ain't even got like Romeo sitting Fred Sub or nothing.
There are better 4.5 million options like Gilmore, you know, that you'd be happy to punt on compared to us. And you're talking 1-2 points a game, you know, for someone like Romeo.
Obafemi, a definite no for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him. Unless he's with us come September the 1st, which I don't think he will be. Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm not buying him for game week 4, mate. We all don't fix this one. Jesus. Well, I guess he could be part of a wild card for those going early enough.
Exactly.
That's very true, actually. Matt, as a pleasure. Thank you, mate.
Yes, yeah, no problem indeed. At all.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to some Clash of the Correspondents this season as well.
Ah, yeah, you got any plans before game week 2?
No.
Good. You're on the first one. Everybody who's just listened to this has gone. So he's recommending no one. And you're getting him on for the first Clash of the Correspondents before game week 2. Yeah, of course I am. You're playing Man United. We need to talk about Bruno and shit a bit more, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Just give me the hard job.
Nice. That's an interesting segue, James. Where are we going next?
Old Trafford, Man United, to talk a little bit more about Bruno with Gary Robinson is my cap playing.
Indeed. Matt, you gave a plug to your socials, but you want people to find you where at Clean Sheet Wipeout, right?
It's at Clean Wipeout FPL. Doesn't quite fit as Clean Sheet Wipeout.
Is that right? I might have one wrong. There's no clean sheet in your handle.
No, it doesn't fit.
Man, I'm two characters out. I just assumed it was there. Is there actually a limit on the amount of characters?
Yeah, it won't. I think I get to wipe O and it doesn't let me with the UT. So just, clean
get
Wipeout.
Get rid of the FPL. Right. All these people think, oh, you got to have FPL in your handle. Get rid of that nonsense.
Don't need it.
And just Clean Sheet Wipeout, mate.
Won't fit.
It doesn't fit.
So the FPL replaces.
I've got to change. I've done all the thumbnails and I know I've got to change it because I've done it wrong.
Yeah, my bad.
And for your pod, the handle?
At Season Keepers.
Fantastic. So head over there, give them a follow and give them a listen as well. James, we march up to Manchester, Old Trafford. Looking forward to catching up with Gary, is my cap player, and see how confident he is for Manchester United season ahead with the signings that they've made this summer as well. So wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you are subscribed and you'll get notified as soon as new stuff goes live. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, Matt. Be nice to each other, everyone. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Podcast Network.